Live from Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. There's a different vibe this year in Sacramento as thousands of public school students and their teachers head back to class. Today, Sacramento City Unified, the school board will vote to ratify an agreement reached between the district and the teachers union, an agreement that appears that both parties are satisfied with. And there's also been progress on the renaming of several campuses within Sac City Unified with historically racist school names. But as we near the end of the first full week of class, a good amount of work still remains. Sac City Unified is still searching for a new superintendent among a list of priorities that spans diversity, equity, inclusion, enableness, closing achievement gaps, and community involvement. Joining us now is Cap Radio's Sacramento education reporter, Srishti Prabha. Srishti is also an education reporter for the Sacramento Observer. Good morning, Srishti.
Good morning, Vicky.
So you and I have both covered the battle between the district and the Sacramento City Teachers Association over contract negotiations over past years. Today is significant, but before we get into those details, you know, let's start with the new school year. Is the school year feeling different than years past?
Definitely. There is less tension between the school board and the staff members, the union members. School board members have conveyed that they're committed to building trust with communities and their schools. I spoke to trustees Jasjeet Singh and Lavinia Phillips, and they aspire to break these silos that the local school board has traditionally inhabited. And both have also worked with the teachers union to formalize the Community Schools Agreement, which is a grant that facilitates participation between schools, the students, parents, and their neighboring communities.
When it comes to contract negotiations, historically, I mean, they're far from fun. They haven't been pretty. They've been contentious at times. So what's happening today and why is it significant?
You're totally right. This is one of the first times in recent history that the district and the union have a joint press release. And this signifies that they're working in tandem. This was confirmed by Nikki Malevsky, president of the Sacramento City Teachers Association.
It has been very disheartening under past leadership, and it certainly gives us a hope with the change in how the new leadership has approached working with their partners, just coming out of this and having a joint statement together about it. Makes a difference, and we hope that that sets a tone for the future.
What did the district get in terms of the negotiations and what was agreed upon?
I asked both parties about compromises that were made, but it seemed both were quite content with the agreement reached. So they didn't really go into the specifics. But I think the significant point to this is that a lot of the money is actually being pulled from the surplus budget of last year. So no extra dollars are required. That money already exists. And the hope is that the new compensation will attract talent to the district to address the teacher shortage, which has been plaguing, you know, all the districts and all the counties in California.
Yeah. So when it comes to the contract for teachers, what's in it for them?
Right. Let's get into it. So the parties have agreed to a 10% increase in salaries retroactively. So it applies to the 2022-23 school year. But then that salary is still ongoing for their future employment. So that salary remains for the next year as well. An additional 6% increase is given to educators who provide critical services. So those can be special ed teachers, audiologists, school nurses, social workers, school psychologists, people whose need is very high, but we're not finding enough of them. And another thing that happened was that the daily maximum substitute rates were changed from roughly $250 a day to $355 a day, which is significant because a lot of substitute teachers would choose to take jobs in Elk Grove and Natomas because the pay was higher. And lastly, 3 days of professional development days were added to the work calendar for the 2023-24 school year and to the 2024-25 school year.
Srishti, all this comes as Superintendent Jorge Aguilar, he stepped down earlier this summer. Who led these negotiations for the district? And what is the sense of how former Superintendent Aguilar's departure may have impacted the talks?
Right. So I asked Nikki Malevsky about this, who is the president of the Sacramento City Teachers Association. And she was explaining that under past leadership, outside consultants were brought in to bargain with the teachers. and the teachers union, which obstructed direct communication with the district staff. But under interim superintendent Lisa Allen, the district's chief business officer and chief academic officer, among others, were actually at the bargaining table.
So that's a big difference.
Big difference.
You know, also, I mean, this is going to, what's happening tonight at the school board is significant, but the district and the teachers, they still have work to do. This isn't it. What is the plan for a longer term contract? Because they want to have something in place by November 15th, right? I mean, that's just around the corner.
Correct. So the school board will vote to ratify the agreement reached by the district and union today. And again, I always talk about school boards. School boards are important because they really are leading these contract negotiations and what is possible. So Trustee Singh, who I spoke with, who is actually committed to working with the union, has said that these discussions are far from over. They will address the 2023-24 and 2024-25 salaries, potential reductions in class size, and internal job transfers by November 15th. So hopefully that will be ratified by that point.
And what is also ongoing is they're searching for a new superintendent. Before we get into how this search is going, remind us about Jorge Aguilar's tenure with Sac City Unified and also who's running the district now.
Yes, very good question. So Jorge Aguilar stepped down in June after 6 years. His tenure was full of strife, culminating to a 12-day strike by teachers and employees last year. And as you heard from Nikki Malevsky, there was a lot of tension and not a commitment to working together. With the interim superintendent, who is Lisa Allen, they've made more strides. So she was the deputy superintendent before and has been in the district as an educator and administrator for 28 years. Both staff and board members are happy with her in this position. Here are two rave reviews, first from Nikki Malevsky, and then the second from school board trustee Jasjeet Singh.
Just in the few months since the leadership change to a long-term educator like Lisa Allen has made a big change in how the district has approached working with us.
As a deputy superintendent, she was already the one who interacted most deeply with staff on a day-to-day basis. So I do know that there's a lot of excitement both from community members, from staff, and so many other folks about having her in this position.
When it comes to the search for who will be the new superintendent of Sac City Unified, is there a short list of candidates? How's it going so far?
So there isn't. And it's a good question because there is actually a process with how candidates are chosen. So the district school board, again, the district school board is important, is leading the hiring process, which involves choosing a recruitment firm, creating a job posting, and evaluating applicants. Jasjeet Singh said that their proposed timeline will take close to a year with the hope that the new superintendent will be in place for the 2024-25 school year without much disruption to the students. Lavinia Phillips, who serves as the vice president of the school board, said she is eager to shift the culture of the district with the new superintendent.
In this next coming school year, priority, second obviously to improving student outcomes, is hiring a new superintendent. We have the opportunity to select a person who will not only honor our community, but also work to activate their values and their visions and what they want in a district that's teaching their children.
Yeah, Trustee Jasjeet Singh confirmed that the school board is committed to seeking input from the community and will host discussions this month with parents and neighbors on required job qualifications for the next superintendent prior to releasing a job posting. That said, nothing has been like fully done yet, so I'm not sure when that will happen.
Which means more for you to follow.
Exactly.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. If you're just joining us, we're talking with CAP Radio Sacramento education reporter Srishti Prabha about the changes at Sac City Unified School District this year. So among the changes, many students and teachers within the district, they're returning to some campuses that have new names. Three schools have new names, and they are Miwok Middle School, which is the new name for Sutter Middle School, Suyu Elementary, which is the new name for Peter Burnett, and Umoja International Academy, which is the new name for Kit Carson. So give us a brief backstory, the history of why these name changes are taking place and why ultimately the district voted to have these new names.
Right. I would suggest going to my story to get the real background for each one. But there is all three were involved with the killing and enslavement of Native American and or African American people. So it was important that these names were changed. Each name given to the new schools has a meaning. Suyu is the Miwok name for hawk. And at the name change celebration, which happened last week, Jesus Tarango, the chairman of Wilton Rancheria and part of the Miwok Nisenan tribe, addresses the significance of letting go of these previously racist names.
When you rename schools, we're not erasing history. We're trying to tell the true history. And that man that was here before doesn't have a very good history. And so again, we love the idea of allowing the first inhabitants of this land to be able to come in and give a name or to maybe present some names that might be respectful.
After he spoke, Jesus and Miwok and Nisenan elders and youth performed multiple dances to honor this name change, which was just amazing to see. Here's some sound from that.
Thank you for sharing that, Shrishti. Yeah, mm-hmm. I wish I could be there, but it was nice to hear, you know, the wonderful sounds and the ceremonies that took place in light of these new changes. You know, the changing of the school names, it's part of a bigger initiative and focus of Sac City Unified when it comes to DEIA, diversity, equity, inclusion, and ableness. They have a DEIA monitor, Mark Harris. Harris, he's been on Inside a few times. We've chatted with him, but explain what his role is and how his role came about, because it came about in recent years.
Right. It's a very good question because his role is so unique. Mark Harris joined the district in 2021 following race-related graffiti incidents on school grounds. Now he's involved in any district issue that might involve diversity, equity, inclusion, and ableness, usually the forgotten part, ableness. So that's a real big initiative that he's taken on this year because in May of this year, Sacramento City Unified reached a settlement with the Black Parole School Board, which you guys covered, over special ed practices for students, specifically for Black students with disabilities. So Lisa Allen wrote to me, said that the Sac City Unified will be holding community meetings with the Black Parole School Board to see how they can inform the public on what this agreement means for their students. And DEI Monitor Harris' primary concerns involves hearing anecdotal evidence and then eventually proposing policies. He has also pushed for a policy to disallow the N-word from staff and administration in the district, and this is something very pivotal for him.
I'm working with a group of leaders in the district on the first phase of the eradication of the use of the N-word in the district. I've been working on that one all summer. And what Interim Superintendent Allen wanted to do as a first step was to do an intra-district look among district leaders, then to go to the public and say, this is what the district believes should be the appropriate outcomes. What say you? I think that's a good approach.
Shrishti, I think some people might be surprised that, you know, that word is not already eradicated within the school district.
That's a good question. I think there are people with different beliefs. I think when you think about Black culture, it's very much prevalent. And so disallowing it can actually negatively impact Black students themselves. That said, I'm not really sure how this policy is going to pan out. So we'll have to, again, keep track of what's going on.
Finally, Shrishti, I mean, how is the district addressing closing some of the achievement gap challenges that they faced in recent years?
Right. So Sacramento City Unified actually released recent assessment results with me, which indicate that the achievement gap has widened between students. Achievement gap is a term we usually use for whether or not students are meeting grade level and that gap between students of color and white students predominantly. In some cases, the gap has remained unchanged, but in general, students of color are not meeting the standards at the same rate as their white counterparts. And the district continues to propose their multi-tiered system of approach, which is an individualized assessment of a student's needs to address the issue. However, this approach has not yielded improvement in test scores over the past 2 years. So I'm curious to see how it's going to change it in this next year. Well, again, another thing I can keep track of.
Yeah, and we have to remember that during this time, there was also the pandemic and remote learning, and that also took a toll on a lot of students as well as teachers and staff. Thank you so much, Shristi. You ran through a lot this morning.
Thanks for having me, Vicky. I'm glad I was able to.
Shristi Prabha is CAP Radio Sacramento Education Reporter in partnership with the Sacramento Observer. Up next, we're going to head to the Sierra Nevada foothills, learn how a handful of counties, they're working together to make it easier to build ADUs, accessory dwelling units, and how they believe this partnership will empower locals to add units for their own community. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicky Gonzalez.